Thank you. Good morning. Hey, it is a great morning this morning. And this morning, let's just grab our Bibles and turn to Exodus 33. And just as you're going there, I just want to give you a quick synopsis of where I want to go today. I really want to talk about valuing His presence. And just as Pastor Andrew was saying as we were worshiping and in His presence, he was saying how we are people of His presence. And I really believe that we have a distinguishing mark as His people. We have His signature that is His presence. And as we go, as we walk through life, no matter where we go, where we interact with people, and even when we're in our dreams and our sleep, when we're active and inactive, His presence is with us. Amen? Can I get some? Yeah, so as God's people, we're called to pursue, recognize, and follow. So you can write those three down. Pursue, recognize, and follow His presence. Those are kind of the three things we're going to kind of tour around with today. And so if you're there already, let's get to the main text here. Exodus 33, verse 12. All right. Father, I just thank You so much for this morning, for Your presence. I thank You that we are in Your presence now. Would You rest upon us, God? Would You rest upon us? Lord, we want to know You more. We want to be closer with You, God. So would Your presence just rest in this place? Would You open our ears, open our souls, open our eyes to see You more clearly and deeper? In Jesus' name, amen. So Exodus 33:12, it says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, You say to me, bring up this people, but You have not let me know whom You will send with me. Yet You have said, I know You by name, and You have also found grace in My sight. Now therefore, I pray, I have found grace in Your sight. Show me Your way, that I may know You, that I may find grace in Your sight, and consider that this nation is Your people.' And the Lord said back to Moses, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" So let's just pause right there, because at this point in time, Israel is in Sinai, and they're planning to go to Canaan, where they've been promised to go and take that land. And so Moses and the Lord are having this chat in the tabernacle, which is a tent they put up. And the cloud of the Lord, His presence was visible, and it rested on the doorway. And Moses was having this conversation, like face to face with the Lord. And so the Lord at this moment, He confirms their identity, and He says, "You are My people." And He promises His presence will stay with them. So what I really want to focus on, though, is Moses' response. And I think that this is something that the Lord is on today. And this is also something that we need to have in our hearts as our response. So let's go to the next part here. It says, "Then He said to him," so this is Moses saying to the Lord, "If Your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from out of here. For then how will it be known that Your people and I have found grace in Your sight, except You go with us? So we shall be separate, Your people and I, from all of the people who are on the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will do this thing. I will also do this thing that You have spoken, for You have found grace in My sight, and I know You by name." And the Lord confirms that, and He promises His presence. And I just love Moses' heart. He's just like, "Lord, I know You're calling us to Canaan. I know You're calling us to this promised land, but You also promised Your presence. And my heart is just, I don't want to go anywhere unless You're with me." And we are the people who live under the grace of God. And we want others to know that, Lord, Your presence is my distinguishing uniqueness. We are a people of God. And that's, I really believe that that's what the church is also called to be, is a people of His presence. So no matter if you're in the grocery store, no matter what you're doing, if you're at work, that people recognize that there's something different about you. There's something distinguishing, making you unique, because you're a people of His presence. And we don't have to go through this this chapter, but I just want to read a little bit of Numbers 9. It kind of follows up with what happened. And so it says Numbers 9, 16 through 17. "So it was always that the cloud covered it by day," that was the tabernacle, "and the appearance of fire at night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that moment, Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there Israel would set up their tents." So wherever the cloud moved, they moved. That was their heart, was where you go, I want to go. And where you rest, we set up our camp. And no matter if it's an hour or a couple of days, a month, or even a couple of years, it even says that they waited at least a year at one point. And they just waited for him. Moses simply knew he couldn't live or move without God's presence or being with him. He expresses that. He's of a people group that is separate specifically for the Lord. And he had great value for the presence of God. He knew that that was more valuable than just going and doing his own plan or thinking, this is what the Lord is doing, and we just charge through. He wanted to wait and recognize what God was doing. And so the Lord was showing me as I was working on this message a couple of days ago. I was sitting on my bed, and I just hear Oliver running down the hall, and then he comes up to the door and just starts banging. Daddy! Daddy, where are you? And I was quiet for a moment. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to study, trying to write this message. And I hear him pitter-patter away. And then like another moment later, Daddy, where are you? And I can just hear him smacking on the door. He's so excited. I'm like, oh, Lord, I really want to hang out with him right now, but I've got to focus on this message. So he pitter-patters away. And then a third time he comes, Daddy, where are you? And Annie opens the door, and he just runs in and goes, what did he say? He says, cuddle, cuddle. And he's standing at the side of my bed, and I'm like, oh, man, he just wants to be with me right now. We're in each other's presence. We're in the house, the same house, but he wanted to be face-to-face. He actually literally, like, I picked him up, and he just, like, laid on me. And for 30 seconds, which is pretty remarkable for that little guy running around everywhere, we just had a moment, and I was, like, welling up in tears. And he just showed me that that is his heart for me, to have a heart that just says cuddle. That sounds really, really funny. But, you know, as adults, we're children of God, and he just wants us to be in his presence. And so if we value his presence, we're going to pursue his presence. That's my first point, is pursue his presence. He showed me through Oliver that God's heart is that we value being in his presence. And Psalm 27:4 says, one thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He wants to be the one thing that we desire most of all. And the psalmist later on in verse 8, it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. So the Lord is saying, telling us, he's saying, seek my face. And so our hearts, just like the psalmist, needs to say, Lord, your face I will seek. There's this revelation, understanding of God's love for us, and our response back is how we worship him. It's out of his presence. And so he's wanting this hunger and thirst, this desire of each one of us, to have a heart after God's own heart, is what David said. And I've put that as a core value, is the first thing on my heart is to please your heart, God. And I just want to be around you. I just want to be around you, Lord. And I was just thinking about when Annie and I were dating, and we dated for 2.5 years. And I went to Bible college. My first year was in Toronto at Tyndale University. And right around the halfway point, it was in December, and I think I finished up my first semester, and it was kind of like this relieving moment. We had I actually got to visit for Christmas, and when I came back, I was just stirred up. I was just I just was restless. Something was going on, and I just didn't know what was happening, and I couldn't sleep. I was like, God, what is going on? I need to fast. I need to figure out something has changed. Something has shifted, and I just realized, and I actually even talked with my parents for like a couple hours, because I was just like, I just want to be with Annie. I love her so much. I just want to be around you all the time. And gosh. And so I didn't realize this, but my dad's like, well, if you're asking for the blessing, you got it. And I'm like, I guess that's what I did say. Oh yeah. I want to be around her all the time. That's it. I'm going to get a ring, and I'm going to propose to her. We're going to get married, and we're going to do life together. I pursued her, and the Father just wants us to pursue him with everything. Revelation 2 shows how Jesus was speaking to the people of Ephesus. And he actually had this warning, but in a loving tone. He said to them, you're doing great deeds, you have perseverance, and you have patience. He mentions patience twice. They must have been going through a lot of frustrating times. But they had been doing the works, but he said, and this is kind of paraphrased, one thing I have against you, for which you need to repent, is that you've left your first love. So our pursuit of him must be driven by love. It can't be by deeds. It can't be by our actions of being a good person. That is not the foundation. The foundation is love. And under that, that's how we pursue his presence. His grace already made us accepted too. Christ on the cross, that was the moment when the veil was torn and we have access to his presence. So I kind of saw this like waterfall effect of when we make God's love first, he's first, and then it trickles down to my spouse, and then it trickles down to my family, and then it trickles down to my friends, and then it trickles down over to my neighbors and people that maybe I don't even know, but the source is he's my first love, and his love rushes down. And so even when I get to the very bottom and I'm going and doing outreaches, it's his love, not good deeds, that is moving forth and changing people's lives. So my second point is to recognize his presence. So first is pursuit, but now the next step is to recognize, what is he doing? Do I have an awareness? You know, we sing songs like, let us become more aware of your presence. And that is a prayer that I want to have every day. That's a core value of mine. I want to know, are you speaking, Lord? Are you moving? Am I listening or am I being distracted? You know, have you ever been in a situation where the grace just has simply lifted? Maybe you're in a workplace where you just felt like the grace, you know, the cloud kind of lifted up and kind of moved on. And you got this unsettling feeling like, I'm in the wrong place right now. This is just not where I need to be. Lord, what are you doing? Where do I need to go? Or maybe you've been in a place where you're in a difficult spot, but you have this huge sense of grace. And the grace is, and peace is just letting you know that you're where you're supposed to be, even though in the natural, maybe there's a whole bunch of chaos going on. But in the spiritual, he's got you, he's got this deposit of peace and grace on you. And you're like, I can go through this. I can do this right now because you're with me. And no matter what challenges I'm facing, I can go and do what I need to do. I think these are pretty good signs. These two are good signs that you're recognizing God's presence, or maybe you aren't, and we need to. It's really about my connection with God. How is that connection? You know, is it spotty signal? I have to say that with a British accent. Spotty signal. But this couple of weeks, I kind of had this challenge, this personal challenge, where I dropped my iPhone, and it cracked bad. I mean, it was like a spider web. And I was pretty bummed. And I had a friend who's fixed iPhones before. So I got a repair kit, and it's like do-it-yourself. But it was like one of the best types of brands you could get, I guess. Never had to do this before. So I was like, well, at that time, we spent 3 hours trying to fix this phone. 3 hours, and we find out we did more damage than good. And this thing, whatever we did, it actually made the phone non-functional, gone, dead, and it was a 5S iPhone, Lord. What's happening? And I didn't even know how long it would be till I got a new phone. And, you know, have you ever felt the house, or sorry, that's not what I was going to say. Have you ever left the house and you realize you're like, I don't have my phone. Oh my gosh. I feel like a part of me is like missing right now. This is so weird. And driving home from my friend's house, I just realized I didn't feel stressed. You know, as I was leaving, you know, my friend and his wife were standing on the doorstep going, sorry, we tried. And I'm like, you know what? It's just an object. It's just a material thing. And I kind of just had to laugh about it. Like, let's just laugh at that. And the next morning, you know, I headed to work, and normally I'd throw my headphones in and listen to the audio Bible or a podcast or worship music, and I'm like, this is interesting, this is different. I kind of feel like a part of me is missing, and I felt like, I realized God was nudging me. He was getting my attention, and he was making an opportunity to connect with him, and he actually removed a part of of my life so that I had to, you know, connect with him that way. Maybe there's just something that he was just trying to get me to learn this last couple of weeks, just to really press into him. And, you know, it's really tempting to be like, why, God, why? Why is this happening? Why am I in this difficult situation? Or, you know, no matter what you're in, like, he's saying, don't ask why, ask what. I was like, okay, God, so what are you doing right now? I don't want to ask why. I want to ask what. What are you up to? I want to realign myself with awareness of what you're doing, where you're moving. You know, a question that he brought up was, how can we help better cultivate an awareness of his presence? So how can we cultivate that better awareness? And one of the things I thought about was, you know, I love to watch others and spend time with others that love God's presence. It's kind of infectious. It's kind of like their love kind of influences me and gets me charged up. I'm like, yeah, I want that. It's like you're letting their love for the Lord influence you to love him well too. And I don't know if you've read this book. It's called Blue Like Jazz. But Donald Miller is the author. And he says, sometimes you have to watch somebody love something before you can love it yourself. It's as if they're showing you the way. And honestly, that's my heart as a worship leader. If I'm not clearly showing that I love Jesus with everything, I haven't done my job and I haven't served my church family well and in a loving way. And John Wesley said, when you set yourself on fire, people love to come and see you burn. One of the people that is like the biggest influences in my life as a worship leader is Martin Smith. If you guys have listened to Delirious, I've seen them several times, and each time I'm just like blown away at the clear connection that this man has with God and this their whole team. Just like they love the presence of God, and they'll do anything. They're doing a show, they're doing a concert, but they'll just stop and they'll have a piano play and a pad or something. And Martin Smith is just like, you know what? We need to just wait here for a minute. I saw them live streaming from Bethel. Martin Smith was leading maybe 6 months ago or something, and he literally paused, and he was going to start a song, and it was one of the ones that everybody knows, Waiting Here for You or something like that. And he just stopped. He just started the first line. He's like, no, I think we just need to wait here for a moment. They waited 5 minutes of utter silence. And I'm watching this on YouTube, and the cameras are just panning around the congregation. And it was powerful. This utter silence, the awe of God just rested on them. And it didn't take anything. It was just a moment of peace, a moment of silence, to really just almost like a compass just pointing back to the heart of God. No distractions, no music, no lyrics. But he sings in the Spirit. He's super joyful, and he seeks God's heart, and he wants to create moments like that. So just a couple of tools I wanted to point out for recognizing his presence. I think tool number one is to take quiet moments. You know, it's a Christian discipline to have silence and solitude, and it's really, really valuable. For me, I'm a morning person, and so ever since I was younger, I mean, even at Christian camp and stuff, and this week, I would go out early, like 6:30, 7:30 or something, and just, like a couple days ago, I went out to my back patio, and I'm just staring before the sun comes up at this, like, the dawn is just waking up, but everything is still, and it felt like everything was freezing, like freeze frame. It was just paused, and at one moment, I felt like the face of God was right here, even though I'm looking at God's creation and just recognizing that moment in his presence. It was like I was face to face with him. I was blown away. Even just a couple of minutes, just doing that is just so good. Tool number two, you know, reading God's word and journaling. You're recognizing what he's saying. You know, putting on worship music. Maybe sometimes you just don't even know the words to say. Let a worship artist do that for you. Let them speak and just sing over you so your soul can sing back to God. Of course, pray. A core value of mine is pray without ceasing. Ever since, you know, I can remember I was 17 and I'd be working just doing it like a night shift or something, and I'd recognize I was in the back just working by myself, and I just really wanted to learn what that meant, praying without ceasing. It's not like always getting on my knee and making this official thing. It's just having a conversation, just talking with him. He's with us every day, every moment. We're not alone. And so I loved that I had this constant communication with God, this communion where I could just, Lord, I'm really frustrated right now. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why. Can you just have your hand on this thing or this person? You know, you're doing ministry, you're doing outreaches, or even just going shopping and you see someone and you recognize his presence and you can go and give a word or just pray for them. I just see you've got crutches. We met a girl on Wednesday night over at the Father's House Church, and like Rochelle was so amazing. She just went right up to her, oh, what's your crutches all about? And she just met her, got to know her, and then prayed for her. I just love that. Just inviting his presence wherever you go. He loves to be where you've invited him. He loves to be invited. And so those are kind of some of the things that help us practice recognizing his presence. And the third thing I want to point out is follow his presence. Where is he going? Where is he calling us to? Has he lifted the cloud and he's signaling us? We need to go to another place. And back to that moment where I was going to propose to Annie. That was really that moment where I just was so unsettled. I couldn't sleep. And we dated for 2 years, but I felt like the grace for that, long distance from Toronto to San Diego, grace just lifted. I was like, this is make it or not. I don't know. Like, what do we do right now, Lord? And that was just a moment where I recognized his presence was shifting. It was going somewhere else. And same with Moses. His heart was for God and where the Lord wanted to go, not just where Moses chose to go. And even in Acts, Paul had this experience. In Acts 16, verse 6, he talks about how Paul was traveling through Galatia, and he wanted to go to Asia, but it literally says the Holy Spirit forbid him to go. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if they described it. I don't think they even go into detail, but he was not permitted to go there. I don't know what that was all about. He was just like, okay, well, we're making a pit stop in Troas. We'll just hang on here. And, well, it's getting late. Lord, I don't know what you're saying, so I'm just going to hang out here for a second. He goes to sleep, and he has a dream that this man is shouting at him, come to Macedonia. We need your help. We need help. Come. So when he wakes up, he's like, well, I know what we're going to do now. We're going to Macedonia. And so his plans were shifted, and it's so good that he took that pit stop, that he had that moment where he's like, okay, Lord, I could go and plan to go, and just, nope, I'm going to Asia. Nope, I'm going, okay, Lord. Like, he forced it back. And so sometimes maybe we just need to ask the Lord, like, Holy Spirit, forbid me to go where you don't want me to go, whatever that looks like. If that means I got a flat tire and I got to stop, and suddenly I run into somebody that they come and help me, and that was where I needed to be at the time. Whatever that looks like. There's this kind of tension between actively making plans. You know, the Lord says, go and make disciples. Go. Make plans and go. But then there's this other side of it where maybe we just need to be aware of what God is directing us to go to. Maybe we need to go somewhere else. And actually, it was really interesting. We were going to go to the Philippines. I remembered back when we were first planning, we were going to go to Mindanao. And later on, we were like, oh, yeah, we're going to Baguio. And I was like, Baguio? Wait, we weren't going to go there before. And so after I heard the story, there's one thing was pretty practical thing. It was the fact that Mindanao was not a safe place to go. But also, Ben had a dream, right, that we went to Baguio. I'm like, wow, this is like a Paul experience right now. Like, this is pretty wild. So I guess, Lord, we're going to go to Mindanao. I guess we're going, or no, we're not going to Mindanao. Thank you. We're going to Baguio. Getting my directions mixed up here. But God's presence is really practical. It wasn't safe to go to Mindanao. And so he said, you know what? You've been to Baguio. Go again. And it was incredible. I loved going there. And even though I didn't get to go last time, I didn't go, but this time I got to meet people that our team had gone over and ministered to them. And they started planting all these other churches. And so we got to go back and see the fruit of that labor. It was so cool. It was like, I didn't even know this was going on 5 years ago, but now, like, to see where they are, and they're making disciples. They're going like crazy. We would come back in between services, and the pastor is there with his leaders, already sitting at a table with all these people that had just committed their lives to Christ. And they're like, so we're going to go through this book. I'm like, wow, they're just hooking them and then reeling them in. This is how you be a disciple. And, you know, next week they're probably leading a small group. Like, you know, they just launch them in. And I was like, wow, they recognize where, what God's doing. And then they're like, all right, now you need to follow. Like right now, like no time to waste. Followership means fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You know, to have good leadership qualities means to have good followership qualities. So we can follow where he wants to go. I grew up in Toronto, and Toronto Airport Church, it was a vineyard, and they just experienced this radical revival 20 years ago. And I just remember how they stewarded his presence. And they, right from the get-go, they're like, we have this motto, we're taking him wherever he goes. It's kind of like this weird paradox thing, like taking him wherever he goes. It took me a while to chew on that and go, oh, well, Holy Spirit dwells in me. And so wherever he leads me to go, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go do it. So the question is he present? Are we present? You know, are we pursuing him? Are we recognizing him? And are we going to follow him? Has the cloud lifted, and do we need to move? I think that's a really good, maybe it's a dangerous prayer, but I think dangerous prayers are good. This, Lord, I will go where you want me to go. You want me to go where? Okay, well, I'm going to go there. So I know I've kind of gone a little over time, so why don't we stand? Why don't we stand together? I just want to take like 30 seconds. If you guys would close your eyes, open your hands, because I think this is this really good moment to just ask the Lord, not why, but what. Holy Spirit, come and show us. What do you want us to do? What are you doing? James 4 says, draw near to him, and he draws near to us. Hebrews 11 says, the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's the rewarder as we diligently seek him. Diligence, actually, the root of it means to love and to take delight in him. God, we take delight in you. We want to love you well. So do we need to let some things go? Where are you moving? We're people of your presence. So show us your glory and your goodness like you did to Moses. Your presence is my priority. Increase my sensitivity and awareness of you. I don't want to just talk about you like you're not even in the room. I don't want to go anywhere without realizing it and understanding and recognizing you're here. Because I'm pursuing you, God, and I'm going to follow you where you want to go. Thank you, Lord. I just want to create an opportunity here. If you haven't fully given your life to Christ, maybe this is the first encounter that you just had with the presence of God. Will you decide today to become one of his people? Christ gave his life on the cross to take your sins and make a way for you to live in his presence for eternity, for the rest of your existence. He tore the veil between him and you, and now you have full access. So if you've never prayed this, or if you have, would you pray with me and just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, and that you rose from the grave on the third day. Forgive me of my sins. Give me new life. Make me a new creation. Change my citizenship to heaven, and make me a person of your presence. Holy Spirit, would you wash over me now? I want to hear your voice, and I don't want to go where you're not going. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah. You guys are wonderful, and you are blessed.